comes from my throne. There is a flow that will help you grow. There's a flow of favor and goodness, a flow of life and righteousness, a flow of strength. There is a flow of the Spirit. And to get in that flow, it's by faith you go. Take my hand. I will lead and guide you. And you will see great things. For in that flow, the miraculous occurs. Lives are transformed. Hearts are changed. So come and come and get in that flow. Get in the flow. Get in the flow. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we're coming to get in this flow. We're going to move with the Spirit of God. There is no fear in this place, Lord. We can step out on faith. Oh, we give you thanks and praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Saturate every person tonight, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Paul and Silas praised him, and God opened the prison. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You know, where would we be if God hadn't given his son? And I just want to encourage you, we're gonna pray over our tithes and offerings. You know, it's important to give to God, amen? And what you actually do is you actually give into his kingdom, and God makes the seed grow, and he takes care of you. So, you know, here at VCF, we don't pass a container, but there is a container in the back, and you can put that in any time during the service. So if God speaks to you during the service, you can go ahead and put it in. Just be led by God. Father, thank you so much for enabling us to give into your kingdom, Lord. We honor you with our substance and the first fruits of all of our increase. And Lord, you fill our barns with plenty. You cause our vats to burst out with new wine. And we're grateful givers, Father, because you gave us Jesus. And we love you. Bless every gift and giver in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, I'd like you to go to Psalm 23. All of us could probably quote this psalm. But tonight we're going to talk about God is our shepherd and our Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And I'll tell you what, God is good.
Yes.
So Psalm 23, there's just six verses there. I love it. You got to make the word personal. Here's what the psalmist wrote. The Lord is my shepherd. He didn't say he's someone else's shepherd. He said he's my shepherd. We got to take ownership. I shall not want. Well, I thought God didn't take care of your wants. Right there. Because we have such a good shepherd that he even takes care of our wants. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me, notice, personal, beside still waters. He restores my soul. You need your soul restored tonight? I tell you what, you spend a few minutes in the world and you need your soul restored. It's like you can't go without a day without washing your hands at least once, right? Why? Because we live in a world that's fallen, and so he can restore your soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Isn't it interesting how he anoints you and your cup runs over? Doesn't God know how much can fit in that cup? But yet, when he gets involved, it runs over. And when our cup runs over, we want to cover it, don't we? We want to stop the flow because we don't want it to spill. Listen, let God spill it. Okay? If there's one thing you want to run over, and it's the anointing. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen? Amen. Well, in this psalm, we discover a name of God called Jehovah Rohi. If you say it in Hebrew, it's Ruach. But since I'm not Hebrew, Rohi. Amen? And this word, Rohi, it means to tend a flock. It means pasture it. Not pastor, but pasture. It means to graze. It means to generally rule. It means with as a friend or a companion, to have a company with, to eat up. It means to feed. Oh, don't you know that we have a shepherd who feeds us? And he feeds us good, rich things. All right? So let's look at this a little bit. You know, as your shepherd, number one, he's your caregiver. Right? He is so good to you that you want nothing. I mean, if you're not wanting, you've got to be in a place where everything is provided for. How many know Richie Rich is not wanting? Right? Or when Annie got connected to Daddy Warbucks, she wasn't wanting. But we got connected to someone better, someone greater. We got connected to the Good Shepherd, to Jehovah Rohi. Jehovah Rohi. Not to be mixed up with Jehovah Rapha. All right? So he's your provider. You know, he leads you to a full, rich, green pastures. Now, notice that when the sheep get to the pastures, what are they doing in verse 2? Why would sheep lie down? Because they're so full. They have so much grass. They've been eating all day long. And they can't do anything but lie down. And notice this isn't brown, ugly pastures. It's green pastures. Okay? Notice he makes you to lie down in green pastures. He created the opportunities. He brings it to pass. All right? He's your leader. He leads you beside the still waters. All right? Where there's, he leads you to a place where there's not a lot of trouble. He leads you into still waters. You know, be still and know that God is God. There's something about stillness. Stand still and see the salvation of God. He leads you to a place of confidence. Okay? This is what he wants to do for every one of us. Why? Because he's our shepherd. He's our good shepherd. He's the restorer. He repairs your soul. You know, our soul gets affected by things. Our soul can be bruised. It can have scars. And when you have a scar in your soul, it's preventing the light to get there. But how many know the entrance of his word gives light, right? And if you have a dark area in your soul, pray that God would flood you with his light. Because, you know, Jesus said, in me there is no darkness. So he can restore your soul. Anybody, if you need your soul repaired tonight, the manufacturer who made the soul is here. Amen. And he knows exactly how to tweak it and to adjust it and to fix it if it's not working right. Okay? He's your guidance counselor. He guides you into paths of righteousness. All right? He guides you. So he's your guidance counselor. He's the best advice giver. If you don't know what's ahead, you can ask him. you know, throughout your day, young people, when you're in school or when people go to work, keep your heart open. You know, you have an instrument inside you called your heart. And it's the thing that God speaks to you, right? You have a hidden man of the heart, which is the real you, which is the spirit, right? You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. And the way God guides you is he speaks to your heart, okay? When he wanted to choose a king in Israel, what qualification did he look for? He looked for something no one could see externally. He looked at the heart. Samuel was looking at these boys, Jesse's boys, you know, big, strong, muscular, handsome, but no, not it. Hey, Jesse, you got any more? Yeah, old David out there, he's out in the field. Dave, why didn't David even get invited? But how many know God had an invitation for him? Okay? So, he's your strength and assurance. He'll cause you to fear no evil. Can you imagine not fearing any evil? It doesn't matter what they say on the news or what threats come, because we're a people who fear no evil because we know the Good Shepherd. Evil cannot, no harm can come near your dwelling. Say, I fear no evil. Yeah, it does not matter what evil occurs near you or around you. You don't have to fear it. Do you realize people who fear evil give evil power? Fear is like faith in the devil. But we don't have to fear evil. He's your comforter. His rod and his staff, his word and his spirit, they comfort you. Notice, they comfort you. They encourage you. They exhort you. God is saying to you right now, you can make it. God and his angels are saying, I got a feeling everything's going to be all right. God knows that all things work together for good to them who love God and who are called according to his purpose. So things may look like they're falling apart, but God will bring it all back together. Why? He's a good shepherd. He's Jehovah Rohi. Okay? He's your chef. He prepares a table before you in the presence of, and he's like, you know, he cooks the meal right there at the table. You know, he's given every one of us an invitation at the table. Where? In the presence of your enemies. Your enemy is going, huh? And you look at the enemy and say, don't bother me, I'm eating. You're focused more on the table than you are your enemy. That's the whole point. That's why he does it in the presence of your enemies. I mean, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in Babylon, and the crazy king builds a statue and he wants everybody to bow to his statue. Number one, they didn't fear evil. They didn't fear the fiery furnace. They said, oh, king, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. It doesn't matter what you do, king. We're not going to bow to you. We're not going to bow to an idol. We're not going to worship an idol because we worship God. And they stood their ground. And boy, they had a party in the furnace. A dance party. He's your anointed one. He satisfies you with superabundance. You like that word, superabundance? That's a normal Christian word. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life. How? More abundantly. I'll tell you what, God loves the word abundance. He loves the word overflow. He loves the words more than enough. He loves the words too much. That's just who he is. He anoints your head with oil and your cup runs over. You know, there's a certain type of bug that gets on the sheep in the Middle East. And a shepherd in the natural has to regularly rub the sheep with olive oil. So that, because if the bugs get to the head and they spread, it causes the sheep to go blind. So the shepherd has to regularly anoint the sheep. You have an anointing on the inside of it. You have an unction from the Holy One. You've been unctionized. You have an unction to function. And you know, there were a lot of people in the Bible who were shepherds. David was a shepherd. Abel was a shepherd. Jacob was a shepherd. Joseph was a shepherd. Moses was a shepherd. Amos was a shepherd. And Jesus is a shepherd. You know, go to Luke chapter 12. Luke 12. This is my favorite phrase when it comes to sheep and the shepherd. Look at verses 31 and 32. But rather seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's what? Good pleasure. To what? To give you the what? Not just a part of the kingdom. He wants you to have the kingdom. It is your Father's good pleasure. He just loves giving his kingdom to sheep. You know, I read a book by Miles Monroe about leadership, and he said, an army of lions who are led by a lamb will not do as much as an army of lambs led by a lion. How many know that even though we're sheep, we're led by a lion, the lion of the tribe of Judah? And you know, when a sheep is being messed with, God takes it personal because he's the shepherd. So let's look at some qualities of a shepherd. Okay, he's a provider. He leads you to pasture. He's tender. He feeds and gathers. He carries gently. He leads his sheep. Isaiah 40, verse 11. Jeremiah 31:10 tells us he keeps us. The shepherd can keep you. What did David do when a bear took a lamb? Did he say, oh, I'm just going to chalk that up for a loss? No. David said, I don't think so, bear. I don't care if you're a bear. I don't care if you have claws or teeth. The Bible said he ran after that bear. He grabbed the bear and killed it. Then a lion. I mean, lions are extremely powerful. I've watched lions on TV take down an elephant. And a lion came and wanted a lamb dinner, and David said, I don't think so. And he ran after that lion. He did not want any harm to come to the sheep. Neither does God want any harm to come to you. And if someone is messing with you, you're messing with the Lord. Shepherds are sacrificial. John 10:11 says, the good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. Did you know that Jesus laid his life down for you? You know that he died for you. He took our pain, he took our punishment upon him. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes, we were healed. He got beaten and we got better. So he's sacrificial. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21 talks about through his blood you are fully equipped to do his will. There's not one person in this building that is not equipped to do what God wants them to do, or her. Right now, you are fully equipped, and your equipment came through the blood of Jesus. Every one of us can do what God's called us to do. So what are we waiting around for? If you don't know what God wants you to do, number one, you got to find that out. That is the most important information of your life. Don't just think you can coast through life and not do God's will and be rewarded at the end. It doesn't happen that way. Now, people who don't ever do God's will, they may get into heaven. But you know, it would be pretty sad not to go to heaven with anything to give the Lord. You know, there are crowns that you can earn. There's about 7 different crowns, but I'm not preaching on crowns tonight. A shepherd is welcoming. 1 Peter 2:5-5 says, "You yourselves as living stones are being built up into a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." You know, as a shepherd, if one sheep strays, the Bible says Jesus will go after the one. He'll make sure the 99 are okay, but he'll go after the one. Are you the one that he's been looking for? He's welcoming. The shepherd, he crowns the faithful. 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 4, obviously it's not the whole verse, says, "When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." See, I'm an under-shepherd, but he's the chief shepherd. So when the chief shepherd appears, you're going to get a crown of glory, and that crown is not going to fade away. It's going to forever shine. Whoo! Can't wait till I get the crown of glory. The shepherd is the guardian. He will guard you from the evil one. Lions and bears, they represent the evil one. Satan tries to mimic a lion. He walks about roaring like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. Do you realize that he can't devour anybody that he wants to? He's got to get your permission to devour you. The prodigal son gave the roaring lion permission to devour him. How did he do that? Because he was selfish. And he was only concerned about the moment, about himself. And he took his inheritance and he invested in riotous living. But what happened? He was devoured. Where was he at? He ended up in a pig pen with nothing. Everything that he had was devoured. Why? Because he allowed the devourer to come into his life and to devour. You know, that's what happens when we don't tithe. When we don't tithe, it's like we put a neon sign on our life to the devourer saying, "Come on in." Because if you read Malachi 3, it says, "And when we tithe, he rebukes the devourer for our sakes." What's a devourer? A devourer is a seed eater. Which means he literally destroys your future. If he takes away your seed, you can't plant anything. So the shepherd is the guardian. You know, he keeps you through his power and your faith. The only time that sheep get restless is when they lack good food. Then they get restless. When goats come in, goats take the sheep food, and the goats aren't loyal to anywhere. A goat may come in for a time, and there was a guy who wrote a book one time called Sheep, Goats, and Wolves. He said, "Feed the sheep, milk the goats, get what you can out of them, and kill the wolves." A good philosophy. Okay? Go with me to Genesis chapter 15. So You understand that God is your shepherd? What kind of shepherd is he? He's a good one, right? That means he's always for good in your life. The shepherd is never behind anything bad. If bad things happen in your life, it's not the shepherd. Because he's a good shepherd. Okay? Now in Genesis 15, verses 1 and 2, it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. And in verse 2, Abram said, Lord God, underline that phrase, Lord God. That word Lord, maybe in your Bible, it's spelled with a capital L, then a little O-R-D, as opposed to all capitals L-O-R-D. When it's all capitals L-O-R-D, that's saying of Jehovah, but when it's used capital L, little O-R-D, that is used of Adonai, which means Lord, Master, Ruler, the one who has the ability to command. He made a promise to Abram. He said, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. See, look at the words God uses. You know, when you think of an exceeding great reward, I'm not thinking of a trinket that you would get at a carnival for popping a balloon or whatever. But it's an exceeding great reward. Notice, who is that? It's the Lord himself. He is your shield, and he is your exceeding great reward. Did you know that the Bible says the Lord is your portion? And Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. So when you make Jesus Lord, he has the position in your life, and it involves our complete submission and our complete possession. How much is Jesus Lord? He is Lord of some. He is Lord of all. Guess what? Jesus is Lord of your relationships. He is the Lord of your career. He is the Lord of your future. He is the Lord of your finances. Right? Some people are thinking, well, I don't know about that. Well, he is. That is the whole point. When we accept Jesus as Lord, we are accepting these terms. We are accepting that he now holds the position of ruler, sovereign controller, Lord, Master, and owner. Okay? That means where we go and what we do and how we live is directly related to what he says. That means we have just exited the driver's seat and now the Lord is... Listen, if the Lord is your co-pilot, switch seats. He needs to be he's the captain of your soul, not the co-pilot. And when we accept Jesus as Lord, we are surrendering to his greatness. So he is the Lord. He is the master. Now, Abraham knew this term. Did you know that Abraham had 318 servants in his house? They were either born there or purchased. So he had 318 people in his company. All right? And this Eliezer, because Abram at this point had no heirs, Eliezer, who was Abraham's top servant, was going to get everything that Abraham had unless Abraham had an heir. Okay? And you can see Abram saying this here. He said, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house, the servant of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And God told him that he was going to have some children. Okay? Now, because Jesus is Lord, you know, he purchased us, right? 1 Corinthians 6, 18 and 19, it says, your body is the temple of who? The Holy Spirit. You've been bought with a price, right? We're not our own. Okay? So when the world says that, when they promote pro-choice, that the woman is in control of her body, that she can choose what to do, no, she's not the Lord of her body. Well, until she makes Jesus her Lord. Until she makes Jesus her Lord, you know, the one who's controlling her life is Satan. So, God purchased us. So let me just give you some information about a purchased slave, then we'll get to where we need to be. A purchased slave belonged to his master and was considered a member of the family. A slave had a right to the master's protection, help, provision, and direction. Do you think, if you read the story about Eliezer, do you realize he was given the most important task for Abraham's heritage, to find a wife for Isaac? Apparently there had to be a lot of trust there. There had to be a lot of confidence in Eliezer for Abraham to assign him that. Okay? In the absence of an heir, a slave or a servant would be the heir. See? And here's what we got to do. We got to practice looking to God's hand. Go with me to Psalm 123 and verse 2. Psalm 123 and verse 2. Powerful verse. This is how we have to view God as Lord. When he's your Lord, he's your source of all good things. Okay? Psalm 123, 2. Behold, the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God, until that he have mercy upon us. So we're supposed to look unto Jesus, right? Look unto Jesus, because why? He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the rock of our salvation. He's where our help comes from. Okay? And, you know, who made this earth? God made this earth, didn't he? So usually the one who makes something is the one who owns it. Didn't he say all the gold and silver are whose? They're God's. All the cattle is mine. All the cattle on 1,000 hills is mine. And I like to add, and all the taters underneath. See, God owns everything. And anything that God owns, he can get to you when you need it. How was it that Peter and Jesus paid their temple tax? Jesus said, why don't you go to the lake, throw in a line, not even a net, a line. And he said, the first fish that you catch, there's going to be two coins in its mouth. Use those coins to pay our tax. See, God can move heaven and earth. Why? Because he is Adonai. He is Lord of all. He owns it all. He's the master. He's the ruler. And he can get it to you when you need it. Because you have a relationship with, you've made him Lord of your life. That means he's your provider. He's your guide. He gets to direct you. He gets to order your steps. He gets to lead and guide you. He gets to see his greatness operated through you. Do you realize that when Jesus sent out the disciples the first time, he said, take no money bag with you? Well, how am I supposed to live if I don't take my money with me? You got to trust Adonai. You got to trust the Lord. And when they came back, it didn't seem like they were at a loss. So he's your Lord. You know, he establishes relationships. We read in Genesis 15 that he was Abraham's shield and reward. He made a covenant with Abraham. Go with me to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. And we're going to look at verses 10 and 11. You know, when you know that Jesus is your Lord, it takes the pressure off. You know, God, the Lord appeared to Moses, and the Lord had a plan. I hear my people, I hear their cry, I know what's going on, I see it, but I want you to go. Now, guess what? Going back to Egypt was not in Moses' plan. He had got settled in leading sheep on the backside of the desert. He spent 40 years in Egypt. And he left Egypt as a wanted man. And so the Lord appears to him. And, you know, Moses is telling him his excuses why he can't do what the Lord is telling him to do. None of us have ever done that, right? The Lord's told you to do something, and none of us have ever given excuses as to why we can't do what the Lord is saying to do. Do you realize that the very reason, because he is saying you to do it, you can do it? If you couldn't do it, he wouldn't tell you. Or he just wants to expand you a little bit. So Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, O my Adonai, I'm not eloquent, neither herefore, nor since thou hast spoken. You know, when you read it into the King James, he sounds pretty eloquent to me. Thy servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? So he has the right to command. He has the right to tell you what he wants you to do. Why? Because he's Lord. Was there a valid excuse that Moses could come up with as to why he couldn't obey the Lord? No, after a while, God started to get angry. You know, stop giving the Lord excuses as to why you can't do what he's telling you to do when what you know to do. You know, if God tells you to do something and you're not doing it, he's not going to tell you anything else. He prizes obedience above sacrifice. Okay? Who promised Gideon that he would go with him? The Lord. You know, Gideon had a self-esteem complex, right? I'm the smallest guy in my family. I come from the smallest clan or tribe. You know, I'm no mighty man of valor. Well, the Lord already established that. He was a mighty man of valor, and Gideon wasn't going to get out of it. But the Lord, Adonai, promised to go with Gideon. He said, I'm going to go with you. My presence, I'm going to be with you. Listen, when you know that Adonai is with you, you can't lose. When you know that Adonai is with you, everything's going to work out just as it should. Go to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. And, you know, if you have any questions about the names that we've talked about or about these, you know, just email me. I'll be glad, because obviously with the constraint of time, we can't get into it like we, you know. But I'm just giving you some revelation about, you know, in Isaiah 6 verse 1, it said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, I saw Adonai, sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train fills the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings, with two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory. why do we buy into the fact that there's bad news when the whole earth is full of his glory? Huh? When you hear bad news, you just need to look at the TV and say, the whole earth is full of his glory. That's what we need to think of. So here's the thing that you need to learn from Isaiah. When you see the Lord in his high place, you'll get to the right place. You know, because when Isaiah saw the Lord, when he saw Adonai, he realized that something was missing in his own life. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live in the midst of unclean people. But what was God's solution? Fire. One of the angels took a coal from the altar and touched Isaiah's lips, and how long did it take him to be clean? The minute he encountered the fire of God, he was made clean. And now he was prepared for what the Lord has designed him for. He could go and preach the gospel. And thank God for Isaiah. He's one of the messianic prophets. Do you know that in the book of Isaiah, there's 66 chapters? And in the Bible, there's 66 books. And Isaiah speaks of the coming of Jesus. And you know, Jesus healed people to fulfill what Isaiah spoke in Matthew 8:17. So let me give you some new, okay. The Lord, he is the Lord of life and service, and he enables his servants to carry out his commands when they fully yield to him and obey him. As our Lord, he promises to be with us and to provide for us. This is what it means to be Lord. He has the supreme authority. You know, 1 Peter 1, 14 and 15 talks about we need to obey the Lord. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. I'm just going to give you a couple scriptures here and then we'll close and pray. Say, the Lord is here. He is. God comes on a Wednesday night. God's here every day. A lot of times he's just waiting around for us to connect with him. When once we connect with him by faith, he said, I've been here. Thank God for your faith. Now we can do something together. Because the Lord favors faith. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. But those were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers also among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. False prophets deny the Lord's work. Oh, that wasn't God. That's not God. When Paul encountered the Lord, he said, Lord God, what will you have me do? He yielded to him. See, this is what we got to do with the Lord. We need to yield to him. It is the Lord's way in your life. It's not your way. It's not our way. It's the Lord's way. And when the Lord tells you you need to change something, you need to change it. Because whatever we're doing, it's going to cause harm to us, and the Lord is being gracious by letting us know to change it. Aren't you glad that he gives us opportunities to change? He just doesn't let us go in our muck and our mire, but he'll pull us out of the clay. The Lord will strengthen you. The Lord directs the service of his saints. And ultimately, do you know that the Lord is the servant? He demonstrated that in John 13 when he washed the feet of the disciples. He said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. So the Lord is your shepherd, Jehovah Rohi and Adonai, and he's your Lord. So now we need to yield to him. Amen? And showing up tonight does not mean that you're a bad person. It just simply means you need a touch from the you need an anointing from the shepherd and a touch from the Lord, because he loves you. You know, the anointing destroys the yoke and removes the burdens. We can't do that on our own. It takes the anointing of God. Woo. Yeah, that was good. It takes the anointing of God, yeah. God's trying to tell us something. So let's believe God tonight. You came here on this Wednesday night. The Lord knows everything about your life. But we don't have to take the bad stuff, but we can come up and we can receive a touch from the Master's hand. Some of you need to reach out and touch the hem of his garment. Anyway, your faith requires action. You want to activate the anointing that's here? You can. It's up to your faith. And it's doing whatever God puts on your heart to do. So if you need a touch from the shepherd and the master tonight, I want you just to come up. And I want you to open up your hearts and allow him to touch you and to make the difference in your life. Hey, Elliot, could you play just on the guitar a little bit? We're gonna do the live worship thing tonight, Lord, because you got an anointing to play. You know, when David played, tormenting left Saul. So just play whatever's on your heart. And you're just up here tonight to receive. Amen. You believe that you're a receiver and that it is your moment. It is your time tonight. The anointing is here. So, Father, we give you thanks and praise right now for the power of your Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Father, that the words regarding you as a shepherd and you as Lord